There was this band called Amusement Parks. There was a shite load of touring with other bands and acts that we all know well. You are, I'll do it in the announce voice, you're a musician, a producer, and an engineer, triple threat. There was this thing called Ghost Tell at some moment in time. Husband and wife, 2018. Decided, I'm going to get rid of this now. I'm going to get rid of the front of the bio. That you decided to do this after you decided to stay home versus visit family for the holidays. See, I got rid of that. We don't need to tell that story again and again and again. We got your Oklahoma and Texas. I should say UK and Texas. See, I gotcha. It could have been OK or UK. And I'm my favorite part for any of this, and Jen has no experience whatsoever, as it's repeated enough times to kill people. Right? Yeah, Jen knows nothing, has no experience in the music industry. And now I'm going to call BS on that, by the way.
No, in singing. I had never sang before. That is 100% true.
I know.
Actually, what you were just alluding to, not many people have picked up on the fact. Yes, I did work in the industry, but I didn't really make a point of that. But I literally had never sang before in my entire life before doing this, and nobody's really...
Right, like not even in the shower.
Nothing. I mean, obviously... Wow. Obviously, I had like sang to myself in the car, but I'd never sang professionally. I never sang in front of anybody, minus like a drunken karaoke here and there, but I'd have to be like extremely drunk to do it.
How did the two of you meet?
Well, we met...
2009.
In the summer of 2009, and I was like, I knew of Dan's band at the time, Amusement Parks on Fire. I was a fan of the band, and they had some shows going on over here, and I went to the shows. And because I had worked in the music industry, we had a lot of mutual friends, and our friend Dave, who was in a band called Film School at the time. I don't know if you remember them or not.
And now Nightmare Air.
And now he's in a band called Nightmare Air, which is awesome too. But I knew him through mutual friends. And so Dave had kind of introduced me to the band at the show. And then fast forward a couple weeks, whatever, like we, again, his manager, the band's manager, had found me on Facebook. And like told me to come hang out. It was super strange. I don't really know.
Yeah,
it
was I think my manager was hitting on her. I think he's like, hey, I'm hanging out with this band. You should come to the studio. And she did.
Oh,
and
yeah, that old trick.
Yeah.
And around about that summer, like she quit a job, and like I broke my arm in the middle of this was recording the third Amusement Parks on Fire album. I broke my arm in the middle of recording it. And so I had a lot of time in LA where I couldn't do much.
Yeah.
Because you. Well, I mean, I don't always need two arms to play the guitar the way I do, but like, I did for some of that stuff. So,
but it never hurts.
We spent some time hanging out that summer and got to know each other.
That's kind of, just through mutual friends mostly, and we both just happened to sort of like have a lot of time that summer, so it just sort of happened like organically, I guess.
Yeah.
It was strange.
Yeah, I came back to mix the record in early 2010, and then we... hung out a lot more, and then I didn't leave America.
He just never left. Yeah, he came back and just never left.
Everything that I've read so far is, and she never sang before. Boom. And that's it. And it's like, oh, like magic. Well, even if you've never sung before, you kind of have to know music.
Yeah, I mean, that is the absolute truth, that I had never sang before and don't have any experience in that. Obviously, like, I have a background in the music industry, which is a different thing. And I know music, and I know, like, what I like, and I know what I like the sounds of. Having that come out of myself is a completely different thing, you know? I really like kind of, for me, like, I think I kind of try to sound like maybe like an old country, like Patsy Cline type of thing is what I would be going for. If I pull that off, I don't know. But that in my mind, when I'm singing, I'm kind of always like trying to sound a bit like an old country Patsy Cline type of thing.
You didn't head into a studio. You said this is a home-based project from moment one. the sound when you sat down and said, okay, we're going to be the no, this is going to be a couple. We'll get to that in a second. We're going to do this. What was the discussion of what the sound was going to be?
Well, I mean, like anyone who's done this knows that it's really useful to actually limit your options, because everyone likes a bunch of music. And if you start trying to like, if you're doing one song and it's like country-ish, then in the middle you decide you want to show your hip-hop side, it can get like messy. So like, we've done a cover. Jennifer's had basically said, hey, for Christmas we should do Jingle Bell Rock because I think it would sound nice in a kind of dream pop setting. And we've been listening to Beach House and stuff, some obvious things. And so we're like, okay, let's just try and, you know, combine that and see what that comes out like. And that was actually the first time she sang ever.
Yeah.
Recorded. And we did it and we were like, oh, that's pretty good actually. That's cool. So, you know, and that kind of set a template. And there was, obviously, we like a lot of the same things. We like a lot of different things. Our music tastes range all over, like everyone says theirs does, you know. But we were just like, okay, so for simplicity, because we don't have long, we wanted to get this recorded quick, you know, let's just agree on some touch points. You know, it's like, it's going to be dreamy. It's going to have this kind of vocal sound. It's going to, you know, like, we agreed on just certain things, which are all in the press release, as you say, you know. Jesus and Mary Kay, right. Beach House, some old Yeah Yeah records, and like just things with certain kind of like qualities and warmth and maybe certain kind of sonic,
right,
you know, angles to them. And with that in mind, we were able to actually work quite quickly because we didn't have to then give every idea equal time, you know. It was like, no, this fits what we're doing, let's get it done, you know.
And they obviously couldn't be too like... you know, Mariah Carey style or anything, because I had to be able to sing it.
Right.
So it kind of had to be in a certain
box. But that fit too, because, right, you know, a lot of those great pop songs, it's like the melodies are really simple, you know, is where the hook comes. So it was like, right, let's spin that into a thing. You know, like the melodies are going to be like, da, 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 you know, like really simple steps. Like, I seem to remember, although we definitely didn't manage this, there was initially and again, it allowed us to work quickly. There was an aim to keep the to not try and be clever with the structures. You know, it was going to be somewhat classic. It was going to be an intro, a verse, a chorus. You know what I mean? We were going to hit all these points instead of just like... And that gave us a framework to hang it on, which, I mean, you know, it's what pop's great for. I mean, the cool thing about pop now, of course, is like... Some of the most innovative stuff sound-wise is happening in pop music, I feel like.
Yes.
While the structures are still the same, and you got to have a hook, you got to be able, you know, sometimes like
Billie Eilish and
stuff. Sometimes melodically stuff, like sometimes a, you know, a hook can be like a great, like, I don't know, just a phrase sang over like a certain sounding kick drum, you know, that can be like a hook now, you know, like,
which
I appreciate it's moved it from the days of the classic, you know, Beatles songwriter kind of.
Okay, here we go. Let's talk reverb and distortion. So when you recorded this, how far did you know in post-production you were going to push it?
A lot of it was honestly done, committed to as we did it. You know, I'd find the sound and that remained the sound to the end. There weren't a lot of times I went back and completely reinvented what we tracked, you know? Most of it was something we committed to, and I feel like it's really important in recording, and otherwise stuff takes forever, you know? So, like, the level of distortion on the guitar for Someday Maybe, that was just set, like, day one, you know? And I don't think that ever changed. That's just what that was. I don't think we ever had a discussion about whether we needed to do a cleaner version, you know? A lot of the sounds that were distorted, like, really cranked, were just tracked that way deliberately. So I couldn't go back. And, I mean, if you start walking that stuff back and second-guessing, a lot of your choices fall apart because they're usually dependent. Like, that guitar was tracked super early on, and everything that was tracked after it was tracked listening to it. So if I'd gone back and tried to undo it, then all my other choices might have made no sense. A lot of people are kind of nervous. And also there's a lot of people are going to have to answer to someone higher up. So a lot of people who track stuff are waiting. You know, if you're the tracking engineer and then you hand it to a mixer and they're like, what the hell did you do to this guitar? I can't even make sense of this. Then, you know, you're chastised and it makes you not feel particularly brave. But I knew I was going to be the mixing engineer too, so...
So you didn't care.
Particularly fear those repercussions, you know.
Okay, so in your press release, it says, quote, this is an unflinching look at the couple.
I think this is just shorthand for, like, it's just honest, you know? Like, I mean, I think people, again, came to write lyrics, limited time means, the easiest thing to draw from, instead of trying to clutch every esoteric idea and bunch of words out there, is, was just like, hey, what did we do? What, you know, like, this is about a couple getting together. Remember when we got together? Where did we hang out? Who did we see? Where did we go? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you can actually, then lines come easy.
But you're blowing your whole press here by actually admitting that you didn't work really hard to be darker than the next couple that's managed to survive together for 11 years of their life, you know?
I don't know.
No,
yeah,
it was painful, yeah.
No, I mean, a lot of them were, I mean, kind of, not difficult to write, but, like, there are certain elements of them that, like, I, as like a singer, want to sing things that I can relate to. And so to me, the easiest things to relate to are personal experiences, obviously. And so we had to sort of kind of dig deep-ish to find those things that I would be comfortable singing about, if that makes any sense. For example, Someday Maybe, we had originally written as a spec for that TV show Riverdale. And so originally it was entitled Best Friends Baby. And it was a bit more upbeat and a bit more like kind of 60s girl group poppy. And we really liked it. And so we were kind of like, let's just throw that on the EP. And I'm like, that's cool, but I don't know if I can sing a song called Best Friends Baby when I'm standing next to my husband. Like, it doesn't feel right. So we had to really, like, rework that song and kind of make it to about us, because that makes sense to me, because I'm in a band with my husband. Mm. So, like, I don't want to be singing a song called Best Friends Baby. It feels weird. So, yeah, I mean, that one was one that we had to kind of, like, really mess around with and restructure and
yeah.
stuff. So,
and we both like the National a lot, for instance. Yeah. Like, lyricists like Matt, or, like, we'd yeah. strive for that. We're nowhere near, but he's, you know, he's incredible. Yeah. I think Hiko writes a lot of stuff with his wife, too, and I find that interesting. You know, they can draw from a lot of stuff together.
Well, and Tom Waits and his wife, too,
Tom Waits,
right?
Kathleen Brennan, yeah.
yeah.
The visuals and the look. This is where, you know, when you're doing your other part of your life, you certainly have a sense of design and feel and tone. How do you think about the, as relating to what you just talked about the sound being... I hate the word organic. I don't like that word, but it, right? It's a stupid word.
Like you said, I'm a very visual person. So when we're writing the songs, I'm kind of already thinking about what they would visually represent. And I think it's important, because we are doing kind of everything ourselves, I think it's important that we're sort of at least now in control of what that is, because, you know, it's just important to us. And so,
and it's expensive to not be.
Yeah, it's expensive to not be. And, like, I'm very, very lucky that I have a lot of friends who have the equipment and have the experience of directing. Shout out to Joe, Vlad, David, everybody who's helped me. You know, they really sort of took me under their wing and kind of more or less helped me learn how to do this. It's not like I just stepped in and, you know... They guided me through, but I think visually, again, Dan and I kind of agreed on, like, what we liked the looks of. You know, we both like David Lynch stuff. We both like kind of the vintage-y looks and muted colors. And, like, we just kind of set some things that we that we agreed upon. And so that we had, like, a style palette.
I love that Joe's still upset that he didn't get to color correct. Color correct, hold me like you know me.
Yeah, yeah. Joe didn't get to color correct, hold me like you know me, because he sent me a pre-edit and I fell in love with the way it looked. And he was like, no, it's not done
just
yet.
Washed out. And he was like, oh, come on. And like, not
but, but yeah, like in terms of what's happening in the actual videos, I mean, 143, the song, it's a very sort of accurate representation of what the song is about. So we didn't get really too I don't want to say we got too creative with that, because it's just kind of like what the song is about. It's not like the lyrics are saying this and that's what's happening, but the song in the video, but the song is about like hanging out with your friends and being drunk and whatever. And that's kind of what's happening in the video. I wanted it to have little like pieces of memory of nights that we've had out that we remember. We're like, oh, you remember that one time when, like, Jason got super drunk and he stole this sign and was drinking a big gulp cup, like just dumb things to us that meant something that I wanted to kind of visually represent and string in this really kind of psychedelic way. So that's kind of like what 143 was. And then Hold Me Like You Know Me, as soon as Dan finished the music for that, to me it had this very like dancey beat to it. And my friend's daughter is an incredible dancer, and so I asked her to be in the video, who is the girl that's starring in the video. And that song was about, you know, like loneliness and isolation, so we kind of had like a bunch of people, and then towards the end she goes into her own head and she's alone, and then at the end she falls out of it and people actually do see her. So it was kind of this like, what's really going on? Are you imagining this in your head, or is it really happening?
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside and songs by others in between.